Hey, everybody, welcome into the first ever episode of the Paradise Vibes Only podcast presented by Don't Blink. We call it Paradise Vibes Only because the two gentlemen I'm joined with on this podcast, Lucius Fox and Todd Isaacs, are from the Bahamas, the beach, and paradise. But for short, we'll call it the PVO pod. Guys, thanks for joining me and being a part of this whole thing. The two of you kind of grinding it out through minor league baseball, trying to make it up to the show. And we want to hear about that stuff on this podcast. But this podcast is going to be about a lot more than just baseball. We're going to talk about music. We'll talk about pop culture, other sports as well. Little Tiger on the podcast this time around, a little of everything. But we're going to start off this first edition of the podcast by kind of introducing where we're all coming from. And for the most part, that's you guys. I'm just the host. I'm trying to kind of steer the ship and let you guys tell stories. So let's get into it. You're both from the Bahamas. You've known each other forever. Todd, where did it all begin? Where did the Todd Isaacs, Lucius Fox friendship come about?
It began a while back. I'd say it began at Freedom Farm Baseball League. That's where we played baseball every weekend back in the Bahamas. And, you know, it all started when I was in a 10 and under division and Lucius was in coach pitch. And I remember the first time I saw him playing, I was like, bro, this kid's going to be special one day. And I remember after this game, I was like, yo, what's up? My name is Todd. Like, from then I could see that he's going to be one of the best baseball players to come out of the Bahamas. And leading them to the draft that following year, I was like, bro, I got to have Lucius on my team. So I told him, yo, stay home. Don't come out to the draft. Because if you come out to the draft, the team's going to pick you before my team. Because my team was in first place that past year. So we had the last pick. So I was like, yo, you got to stay home so no one knows who you are. So we could snag you. And ever since then, the rest has been history.
Wait, and how old were you?
I would have been 9 at that time.
So 9 years old and you guys are rigging the draft in Little League. That is unbelievable. And it's gone on from there. Obviously, you guys played in the Bahamas. You played some high school baseball together in Florida. Were you kind of a package deal as far as that goes as well, Lucius? When you guys went to American Heritage, was that the plan that you were both going to play high school baseball down there in Florida?
Yeah, for sure. You know, it was no Lucius without Todd. You know, we came up together everywhere I was, he was. And, you know, we had a great relationship, but also our family members were really close. You know, his grandmother who passed away, she was like a grandmother to me. His parents are like my parents and my parents are like his parents. So we all a tight-knitted family, basically. Yep. But yeah, it was like a package deal. Me and Todd, we went everywhere together and we're still on this journey together.
Everything we've done is always, you know, we've always been together. Any major decision I have to make in my life, I always, you know, ask Lucius for his input because I value his opinion, you know. That's someone I talk to every day about life, baseball, anything. Anything. There's nothing that Lucius doesn't know about me.
And people may not fully realize that baseball is not the number one sport in the Bahamas by any means. It's different than, you know, we see the Dominican Republic and all the players coming out of there. You guys are kind of setting the tone as far as players coming here and trying to make it to the big leagues. What's the number, Lucius? 6 so far? 6 big leaguers from the Bahamas?
Yes, there's been 6 big leaguers in the Bahamas, but we all racing to be the 7, but we all want to stick and make a lasting impact in Major League Baseball. There's been guys, respect to them, a lot of respect to them, but it hasn't been anyone, in my opinion, that really made a huge impact. And we just want to make a huge impact on baseball in the Bahamas and also at the Major League level.
And you guys have kind of helped it grow as well. We're going to talk a little bit about probably numerous times on this podcast, but the home run derby, the Don't Blink home run derby you guys put together last winter, hitting home runs into the ocean from the beach down there in the Bahamas, bringing in some great prospects to be a part of that. And Todd, that has kind of helped energize the Bahamas from a baseball standpoint too, right?
Yeah, definitely. You know, it was when the event came along, you know, I was actually in Bowling Green at the time. Lucius had already got called up to High A, to Port Charlotte. I was there playing against Bowling Green with the Lake County Captains. And at this time, I was on the DL with a concussion. And, you know, it came to me in a dream. And I was like, yo, this is it right here. So I immediately called Lucius. I was like, yo, what do you think about this idea? We should do a home run derby on the beach. And he's like, that sounds crazy, but let's do it. So Right after that, we got to the drawing board. We made things happen, and year one was a success. Year two felt like it came really quickly, and that trumped the first year to the millionth degree. So, you know, it's just something that we look forward to keep on going.
And different paths to professional baseball for you guys. Todd, you were drafted by the Indians. Lucius, you went back to the Bahamas and went the international route, but now you're both in the minor leagues. Todd, newly signed with the Rockies. Lucius up to Double A with the Rays. I got to get to this, Lucius, before we move on any further. At what point in your life or in your baseball career did you realize that there was another Lucius Fox, not a real person, but a superhero character, Lucius Fox. And somebody, I mean, you got to hear it all the time now, right? From Batman.
Tim, that's crazy. Ever since I signed and I made a Twitter account, that's the only thing I've been hearing. I mean, you get the baseball stuff too, where people are encouraging me and, you know, taking pictures and stuff, but I think the other Lucius Fox, the Morgan Freeman character, is way more important than me. That's all I see. But it was when I was 18 years old when I first signed a professional baseball contract. That's the only thing that filled my Twitter.
I remember working at MLB and our prospect writers, every time they would write something about you, would secretly put in like some kind of a Batman line that wasn't obvious, but people that knew Batman would kind of pick it up, and it was, you just can't avoid it. Have you ever kind of gone with the walk-up music? Maybe when you're getting up to the plate, have the Batman music playing?
No, I haven't tried that, but some people tried to play jokes on me before. I remember playing in Charleston. We're playing against the Yankees. My first year, they had my name, my stats, but Morgan Freeman's picture. That was kind of funny. I tipped my hat to them.
Nice. That is outstanding. And then Todd, I got to talk to you about this because you're now with the Rockies. You were drafted originally by the Indians. So that change happens with the Indians release you and you're looking for a new home and you find a team that wants you in the Rockies. What's that been like over, I guess, the course of the last month or so? Got to be emotional, right? I mean, it's when the game of baseball, it really shows you that it is a business.
Yeah. You know, it's definitely a business. You know, I'm forever grateful and indebted to the Indians for giving me the opportunity in 2015. And, you know, they really shaped and molded me as a person I am, the man I am, and the baseball player I am today. You know, there's a lot of values that I learned from them that, you know, that I carry on for the rest of my life. I made some really good friends, met some really, really cool people. And I felt that, you know, the biggest thing for me was in my life, wherever I go, I always want to leave an effect on the people around me. And I felt that that's what I did with the Indians. You know, I felt like I built lifelong relationships with people that, you know, we'd stay in touch forever. So to me, that was the biggest thing, the biggest takeaway I had from playing with the Indians the past few years. You know, it is a business, you know. I didn't realize what having urgency and what it really means to be grateful for every single opportunity until that day came when I got released. You know, it was really bitter in the moment, but, you know, the week and a half I spent at home, you know, like it gave me time to really clear my mind, you know, to take a step back and to realize that, you know, whenever my next opportunity comes, like every day I have to practice, perform like it was my last. You know, I've always been that way my whole career, my whole life playing sports and anything I've done. But now it's just like I almost have a taste of blood in my mouth now. Like I realize that, you know, my career could be done at any second. Like the Rockies could have not called me, a team could have not called me, and that could have been it right there. So now I'm forever grateful to the Rockies for giving me a second opportunity, and I feel that this is where I need to be, and it's going to be special. I can't wait to hopefully win a World Series with the Rockies one day.
There was a documentary this week that came out, Derrick Rose, and they happened to be following him along in his career, shooting this documentary when he actually got the news. He was in the middle of an interview for the documentary. His agent called him to let him know that he had been traded to the New York Knicks, and they have the whole thing on videotape. I don't know if either of you guys saw this, but
yeah, that was surreal. Like, I felt like I was Derrick Rose in that moment. Like watching that video, I honestly started to tear up because it's like it's emotionally just tried to be so tough and so like strong about it. But at that moment, it's like it's probably when he probably was at his weakest. Like that probably sucked the life out of him, and And I really felt that for him because it was kind of similar situation with me being with the Indians, you know, and building such a good relationship. You think that it's almost like having a girlfriend. Like, you think you guys are going to get married and last forever. But sometimes things just don't work out and you just have to, you know, continue to move on and go on with your life. But at the same time, as a professional athlete, it's so hard to separate baseball, in my instance, and my regular life. Is so hard because baseball is what drives my life. So for Derrick Rose, for example, you know, basketball is his life. So him getting traded, you know, the Bulls was who he is. And at that time, and for him, right then and there, in real time, for that trade to happen, is just like, wow.
And Lucius, you've been through it too, man. You were traded. You originally signed with the Giants. They traded you to the Rays a couple of years ago. What was your perspective on that? Obviously, you were in the minor league level at the time, but how did that hit you when the Giants were the team that initially wanted you and then they send you to Tampa Bay?
I had so many emotions going through my head then. Honestly, like, I can remember this day like it was yesterday. It was August 31st. It was the last day, a couple hours before the trade deadline. And the hitting coordinator came in town to work with me. So we were on the field, and the manager called me into his office, and the GM of the Giants was on the phone. So I took the phone, spoke to him, and he told me what they were planning on doing. And it honestly surprised me. That was my first year being with the Giants. I had just got comfortable. I knew everyone in the system, the GM all the way down. Just got comfortable with all the players, and I felt at home. You know, my family, they had a great relationship with the Giants also. So we all thought that was going to be my home for the rest of my career. And when I got the news that I was actually being traded to Tampa, I had no idea what to think. You know, I thought that maybe it was some people look at it as different ways. Some people might look at it and say, oh, the Giants didn't want you anymore. But that wasn't the case. You know, it's a business, as Todd said, and I had to learn that at an early age. But it just showed me how bad Tampa wanted me, that they sacrificed one of their best pitchers to acquire me in that deal. And I'm forever grateful to the Giants for signing me. But I'm also in a great place right now, and I'm happy I'm with Tampa because it has helped my game grow. The coaches here and, you know, everyone here in the Rays system has played an instrumental part in helping me become the player I am today, and I'm just thankful for it all.
Yeah, and Matt Moore, the pitcher that went the other way in that trade for you as you joined the Rays. Speaking of guys and careers, and Derrick Rose obviously nearing the end of his, a couple of NBA players said goodbye to their careers this week. Dwayne Wade and Dirk Nowitzki, the two of them had the goodbye tour, and then this was it this week as they said goodbye, neither team in the playoffs. What are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on goodbye tours? So if you play, say you both play 10 years in the majors, you're great ball players, and it's time that you've decided you're going to retire, do you do it at the beginning of the season so that everybody can say goodbye all year long? Or Todd, do you wait to the end and just walk away?
I think if I go out, I want to go out with a bang. I think it's really cool that, you know, the guys, when they go out, especially guys like D-Wade, guys like Derek, Kobe, when he did it, that these guys are some of the pioneers for our generation in basketball. I remember growing up and I played basketball for my elementary school, Xavier's Lower School in the Bahamas. D-Wade was my role model. Like, I remember searching everywhere for the little, he used to wear like these little finger compression sleeves, like little finger sleeves. And I searched everywhere for him in the U.S., in the Bahamas, everywhere. And I finally found one and I wore that every single game. I wanted to be like D-Wade. That was my guy growing up, like South Florida team, a team super close to home, and he just inspired me from a young age. So, like, hopefully one day I could have a conversation with him and tell him that how much he inspired my game, basketball, and as an athlete today.
Does it make you, when you see guys retire after long careers, does it make you think about, I don't get to play sports forever, let's enjoy this while it's going on?
100%. You know, seeing D-Wade, who was the latest, him and Dirk, it's just been, that's what they deserve, man. From they step foot in the league, for however many years they played, they played an instrumental part in the league. And you could tell by the love that they got from the, you know, everyone in the NBA. I heard no bad things about either of those players. So when you put on a jersey and you start to play, that's what you imagine at the end of your career. You know, a lot of people don't have that opportunity or that privilege, but to have that is such a special feeling. And hopefully, you know, I could feel that one day, but my hats go off to both of them.
Here it is. Woods has 2 feet to win the Masters. Woods puts it.
And in! He has done it! Tiger is back! Tiger is back on top! Tiger Woods, the 2019 Masters champion. One of the great comeback stories in American sports history. Masters number 5, Major number 15, and Augusta National roars like never before.
Thank you to Westwood One for that call. What an effort. What a performance from Tiger Woods for the ages. 43 years old. He wins his first major since the 2008 US Open. Obviously, in that time, he battled some demons off the course, the back problems. He had his back fused together, not for golf, but so that he could live a normal life. And here he is, winning the Masters, his 15th major. And it's been so long, guys, that for a lot of people, I think for some younger kids, they don't even remember Tiger being dominant Tiger, including his own kids. And now they get a chance to see this again. And I think lots of people have different theories on rooting for a guy like Tiger. I mentioned the demons and things like that. For me, and you see everybody on that course at the Masters today on Sunday as we record this, rooting for this guy. For me, people want to see greatness, and this guy is the greatest arguably ever to swing a golf club. What was going through your mind when you heard about this, Todd, and saw the highlights of Tiger Woods winning yet another Masters?
I was extremely happy for him because, you know, as athletes, our lives are under the microscope so much, and there's a lot of things that people don't know about what's going on in someone's life. And at the end of the day, people sometimes forget that we're two human beings. And not these perfect superheroes that could always be on top. You know, and Tiger Woods, you know, he was great. All his career, he was great. He was almost unbeatable. He's basically Usain Bolt of golf. Like, he just is no one in his category for such a long period of time. And, you know, that rough patch that he hit, you know, I really felt for him because I couldn't imagine what it would have been like if I was in his situation or in his shoes. So, you know, a lot of people criticize him for what he's going through, but at the end of the day, one person can't walk in someone else's shoes, and you don't know what he really was going through that time. And he still tried to come out and perform for the fans and try to do his best to compete. And, you know, I feel that with him winning right now is probably the most memorable and the most meaningful win of his whole life. So, you know, I'm super happy that he won today, and I'm just, you know, wishing the best for him going forward. And hopefully now he can hang it up and just spend time with his family and just live the life that he wanted to live.
Yeah, he said that he wanted to see his kids see him be great because they were too young or weren't even around yet when he last won his major. You see him do it. And what stood out to me is beyond what he did is what the other guys on the course did, because it was like the old days. Guys were just folding. Tiger has the intimidation factor. Is there anybody in baseball that intimidates the way Tiger Woods does when he's at his best in golf?
I would say Scherzer. You know, I've never faced Scherzer, but it's like probably those guys, once you see you have to face him that day, you're probably like, damn, I got to really go there like with my best stuff today. Like, I have to give my all. Like, I have to find a way.
I'd say this. You could be feeling as good as you want, pregame, batting practice, all that. But once you see him take the mound, he's not cracking a smile. So that right there plays a big role in getting in people's head and saying, hey, this is my day and I'm going to strike everyone out. That's what I get from him when he takes the mound.
Yeah, like, he's definitely trying to put you in the record books. Like, that dude is special.
It's no fun in games when it comes to Max Scherzer pitching the baseball. He's trying to strike everyone out. He's coming at you with his best stuff, and you better be ready. So I'd say Max Scherzer.
Yeah, when Scherzer is strutting around the mound, we've seen it when he's had like 15, 16 strikeouts in the ninth, and you can tell he's tiring, and he just starts to kind of stomp around the mound. You know that he's got it going, and it's intimidating, and I wouldn't want to be the next guy stepping into the dirt, that is for sure. All right, great stuff there. Moving on to another topic now, and it's not the happiest of topics, but I think it's one worth talking about with you guys, and that is the tragic murder of Nipsey Hussle, the rapper, the activist, murdered in L.A. March 31st. He was 33 years old in the parking lot of his clothing store, Marathon Clothing Store, in South Los Angeles. He actually had a meeting planned the next day he was going to have with Roc Nation and the LAPD to discuss trying to cut down on gang violence in LA, and then he is the victim of it. The intersection near that store is going to be renamed after Nipsey.
My pain is for my two-year-old that probably won't remember how much his dad loved him. But in Hustle's words, because he used to always say this, the game is going to test you, never fold. Stay 10 toes down. It's not on you, it's in you. And what's in you, they can't take away. And he's in all of us. Grief is the final act of love. My heart hears you. I feel you everywhere. I'm so grateful that I had you. I love you beyond this earth. And until we meet again, the marathon continues.
And that was Lauren London, Nipsey's girlfriend. Some words that pretty much sum that up as well, Lucius. And thanks to Tidal for that track. Just first from you guys, fans of the music and what Nipsey did as an artist, Lucius?
Big, big Nipsey Hussle fan. Sadly, I never got to meet him and, you know, share a conversation with him, but I'm a big Nipsey Hussle fan. I like this message, man, and everything he stood for. And when I heard of his passing, it hurt me. I felt that one, and I still feel it to this day. Every day before the game, I listen to Victory Lap, his last project. And it's just, man, it just hurt, honestly. Like, I wasn't old enough for Tupac or Bob Marley to feel that, but Nipsey is the closest thing. I think he's our generation's Tupac, and it still hurt me. I still feel it to this day, man.
Yeah, he's definitely a legend. You know, I honestly haven't really known much about Nipsey Hussle. You know, I just recently started to listen to his music after he died, which is unfortunate. You know, I listened to the first track, and it was actually on a show on Netflix called All American. And when the song came on, I was like, damn, this might be my walk-up song soon. Because it was just, I just felt it immediately. Like, I felt the words and I could relate to what he was saying. Also, it's just sad and unfortunate that it had to happen to him. But I felt that he left an impact in his community and everyone that he's met in his life. And that's really all you could do as a human being is just, you know, Maya Angelou once said, like, people always remember how you make them feel. And not by what you do. So I felt that he made everyone around him feel much better than they thought of themselves. So I feel that his impact and his legacy will live on forever.
Yeah, and he never really left the neighborhood. He grew up there in South Los Angeles, and he tried to continue to go back and improve upon it. And I just connecting that to you guys, because you guys have come over here to the United States to play professional baseball, but you're back to the Bahamas in the off season and trying to do things there. Just talk about that connection that you have with your hometown, which I think is similar. And for Nipsey, you know, he came from a tough neighborhood, but he didn't want to leave it. He didn't want to leave it behind. He wanted to give back to it and improve it instead.
That's like the best thing to do or the right thing to do. But I feel like everyone has a purpose on this earth, and Nipsey fulfilled his purpose. So while I'm on this earth, I plan on, you know, improving the Bahamas any way I can. You know, that's a place where I grew up. That's a place where I have a younger brother and sister. And if I can make it easier for them and, you know, show them a better way of, you know, living, why not? So I feel like we're very deep rooted to the Bahamas. We want to give back as much as possible. We want to, all the negatives in the Bahamas, we want to turn that around and make it a safe place and, you know, a place where everyone can enjoy.
Definitely, you know, the Bahamas, like, that's something that we carry on our chest every day. You carry that around. That's, I feel that being from the Bahamas is one of the biggest value I have, the person I am today. And like every time I step on the field or anything I'm involved in, I always want to represent the Bahamas as best I will, because at the end of the day, they're going to see Todd, the person, but they're also going to know that I represent a small population of the world. But that small population one day is going to have the biggest effect on the world on a very big stage. So I feel that every opportunity that I have the chance to go back home and do something to better the situation of others, I'm going to do it. You know, Lucius and I, we have a lot of things that we want to get done, things that we will do. And things are just going to make the lives of baseball players, athletes, and just anyone that has a dream. We just want to provide a platform for them to feel that, you know, it's possible. Because a lot of people back home don't really see what's really out there in the world. You know, a lot of people don't have the opportunities like Lucius and I had. And we one day want to provide opportunities for people to see the world and see that their wildest dreams could come true.
Yeah, I mean, we have so much planned, and we won't stop until we accomplish it all. That's one thing about us. We can't tell you what it is right now, but we're going to change the Bahamas. And when everyone hears about the Bahamas again, they're going to know that we made a difference.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, people are going to listen to this and hear us say this and think, oh, these guys are just talking. You know, people never see what you see in your head until it comes to fruition. Like the Human Derby, for example, Lucius and I knew from day one what this was going to do. And the fact that people are now just catching up and seeing like, wow, these two guys are geniuses. We knew from day one what we were getting ourselves into and what we wanted it to do and what it was going to do for baseball and the Bahamas on the whole. So now like people come to us and like, oh, wow, it's such amazing. You guys don't know what you're doing, like, you don't know, like we knew this stuff from day one. So I just say that to say that these things that we have planned and these all our goals and ambitions, like it might seem crazy to the regular person, but it's something that we feel is very achievable and very attainable.
And also I'd like to say, like, people, they look at us and they feel like they can't approach us. We're like two of the most humble people you would ever meet, and so friendly. But a lot of times people take our confidence as cockiness, but we're not cocky. We're just confident in our ability and what we bring to the table. And that's just that.
That brings us to, and I guess we can transition this, because Todd, you mentioned the show All American, which, you know, happens right down there in South Los Angeles. One of our segments we're going to have on the podcast every time we do this is, what are you into right now? It can be pop culture, it can be video games, it can be shows, it can be all of that. And everybody's got to jump in and give us one. So what are you into right now, Todd Isaacs?
What am I into right now in this current moment? It's Soca season, it's Fatten season. And I know you probably don't know what that is, but
nope.
Carnival and Soca and anything having to involve with fattening, partying, and all of that in the Caribbean, that's the best experience you'll ever have. So that's what I'm into right now. I'm into the pure Soca vibe, Soca music on my playlist every day. And, you know, it's baseball season, but I'm living vicariously through all the posts that I see. You know, Trinidad Carnival just happened recently. You have Jamaica Carnival happening soon, and you have Bahamas Carnival happening in a few weeks. So I'm just living vicariously through everyone. And, you know, I'm looking forward to one day on my career is done being able to experience every carnival. Or they have them all over. They have them. And the only one I've experienced so far is in Miami. But they have Miami, they have Toronto, they have Caribbean in Toronto, they have Trinidad, Jamaica, everywhere. London, I want to experience it all.
So what is the carnival celebration? Just kind of paint a picture for me.
Basically, carnival is, I'd say, a week or 2 weeks of just sun up to sun up party in the Caribbean. So it's like Trinidad Carnival is probably the biggest carnival, the most well-known carnival in the Caribbean. And it's literally the week leading up to Ash Wednesday, nonstop partying, concerts, paint parties, foam parties. And the last day, the main event, is the actual carnival road march. And that's when you see everyone in all the costumes. Basically, you follow in these big trucks with music. They got the drinks, they got paint, they got everything, and everyone is having a great time. a great time. It's something you have to like basically train for, because once you get going, like you can't stop. You can't say, "Oh, I'm gonna go to sleep." No, you gotta take like 5 minute power naps. After that, you just straight partying straight through. And I don't wanna sound like a party animal. Like everyone listen. I'm just saying that, you know, that's what I'm into right now. The soca vibes.
All right, over to you, Lucius. What are you into right now?
Me right now, just Victory Lap, Nipsey's last album before he left this earth. I listen to the album every day. It's not one day that passed by that, you know, I don't have that in my headphones. But the whole body of work is amazing, man. The messages he have inside his song, you learn a lot from it. I've been watching all of his interviews and, you know, just learning about him. You know, I knew about him before, but not this much. And sorry, it took his death to bring, you know, out to the public. But this man has been so great to his community and also to the world. And after his passing, man, that's all I've just been listening to, Victory Lap. So I encourage everyone to, you know, give it a listen and, you know, give us some feedback if you like it, if you don't. And I want you all to tell me what songs you like best, and I'll tell you which ones I like best and which ones means the most to me.
You can hit us up on any social media for that, for Lucius Fox. Or also, we got an email address for this podcast, guys, pvopod@gmail.com. So you can do that as well. Let people know, let us know about that. All right. Mine is, because we're going to talk about it on this podcast originally, but we're going to wait until next time now. Game of Thrones, season 8. This is it. The final run. That's what I'm into right now. It's getting started as we get this podcast started. Who will end up on the throne? Is everyone else going to die? Plenty to look forward to. So that's kind of what I'm excited about right now on HBO and getting through that. It also feels like it's the last show that people don't binge. Like you have to actually wait week to week to see each episode of Game of Thrones. So that's fun. All right. Our last segment, guys, you're going to help me expand my musical horizons. What music should Tim be listening to? That's our final segment. And I feel like you just gave me yours, Lucius, right? With Nipsey?
Yeah, you got to listen to that Victory Lap, Tim. For sure. I'm sure you'll like it. It's authentic, man. And it's not a lot of authentic music out there these days. You know, people just like beats, super trap beats and, you know, party music. But this is real stuff.
All right, Todd, what should I be listening to?
You got to get on them soca vibes. I'd say the quickest and easiest way to listen to is by listening to mixes done by two of both of our really good friends, DJ Ignite on Apple Podcast. He just dropped a soca mix a few days ago. And also to DJ Overdose on SoundCloud. Overdose, the DJ, he just dropped a soca mixtape a few days ago, and I'll give you like a crash course to soca music and what to expect right there.
Excellent. Good stuff, guys. I look forward to it. I'm going to check both of those things out. And how about a playlist, Todd? Do you have one of those for me? Of those guys? Somewhere where I can find that stuff somewhere else?
Yeah. I have a playlist on Apple Music that I update regularly. All you have to do is just search my name on Apple Music, Todd Isaacs, TODDISAACS. You'd be able to find me right there on Apple Music. You can follow my little playlist that I have going on. You know, I got one for every mood I'm in. So, you know, go check it out.
All right, final segment. And this is where I'm going to learn something each podcast. And hopefully all the people out there, the baseball fans, are going to learn something as well. As we're going to get a Bahamian lingo term. Lucius, let me know. What's the term I need to know right now?
All right, the first phrase of the day will be, boy.
You
so,
it.
Tim, and to our listeners, you can spell boy a number of different ways. I spell it B-U-I. Some people spell it B-E-Y. People spell it different ways, but it's basically like saying yo in American.
Yeah. Or saying bro. Yeah.
Or saying bro. Or it's just like a, you know, like you say boy hard go. I mean, that's for next week, but boy is this week's phrase.
Boy, I got it. All right, I'm learning.
Tim, that was
I'm
good.
Learning music. I'm learning Tim, language. Good stuff. All right, that's going to do it for this inaugural edition of the PVO podcast. Thanks to Raziel Guevara, our executive producer, to Don't Blink. That's don'tblinkapparel.com. Check it out. Get some gear there as well. Comments and questions, you can hit us up on Twitter and Instagram at @PVO_pod or email us at PVOpod@gmail.com. For Lucius Fox and Todd Isaacs, I'm Tim McMaster. Thank you all for listening. We'll